Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I just want to share with you for a few moments this morning why I love Easter. Why I love Easter. Let me give you two scriptures, then I'll give you some context. Philippians 3, 7 to 11. The Apostle Paul says these words. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. From the book of Romans, the same writer Paul says these words, chapter 8, verse 11, and if the same spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. And the church says amen. Hey, thank you for all your prayers for mom. She has really turned a corner these last few days. She really gave us a massive scare. She has 11 broken ribs. Last Sunday, we just didn't know. We thought it was 9, by the way, and we just discovered that it was 11. Last Sunday, she really had a poor day. But these last 2 days, she's out of high dependency, into a side room. She's bossing us all around, so things are getting good. Things are getting good. I the other day she said to me, oh, Neely, you know, you don't need to be coming in all the time. We know you have so much on and you're so busy, etc. I said, you know, don't come and ask us. Oh, but Mom, it's good for us. And she says, oh, so it's all about you, is it? So I knew things were getting, I knew she was in the on the mend. But there was an absolute beautiful moment. I wish we had the picture because Phyllis had to go in for a procedure and a checkup the following day. And there was a lovely moment when my mom is in her hospital bed and she's praying for Phyllis, who's going to be going in the next day. Now, folks, that's when you know that faith works. That you can be lying in a bed, not sure which way things are going to go, but you still have faith and trust in Jesus Christ to pray for your daughter-in-law or for someone that's going to be going into hospital. And I love that. I don't know about you. Now, folks, as a Christian, I have to be honest with you. I've never subscribed to the notion of trouble-free, problem-free living. Have you ever met Christians that sort of like, you know, when you come to know Jesus, everything's wonderful and everything's great and you never have a down day, and when you speak to them, they're doing fine and they're doing wonderful, and how's your week been? It's been great, it's been fantastic, and how's your year been? It's been great and you're fantastic, and you're like, wow, I wished I lived in your house. Because I've discovered that as a Christian, as the Bible says, the rain comes on the righteous and the unrighteous. The truth is that we are faith-filled, but we live in a real world, and we understand that, we get that. My Christian walk has never been about isolation from circumstances, but insulation, because God has promised that he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me, that whatever I go through, he's always going to be there. The Bible says he's a very present help in time of trouble. God promises this, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. Therefore, when you walk through the waters, I will be with you, he says, and the rivers, they won't overflow you. So we have been so aware of the presence of God and the prayers of the saints. Aren't you glad for a family that prays and unites together? As I was driving the other day just through to Aberdeen, my computer screen on the car came up, and it began to tell me, it was a warning sign, telling me that there was a problem with the air pressure in the tires. It had changed. I jumped out, I had a look, and everything seemed quite fine, so continued to drive to the hospital. My sister Louise was with me. Thought that perhaps once I turned the engine off and turned it on again, that would resolve the problem. No, Matthew, you're right, it didn't resolve the problem. So once again, checked the tires, they looked fine to me. But being very aware that I would be back and forth to Aberdeen for a number of days, I thought that I would go and get the pressure checked. Now, I want to just give you a backstory to this. I shared this last year in one of the sermons that a couple of years ago, in fact, it was 7 years ago, I'd taken Chris's car. Chris was living in Aberdeen, my son at the time, and there was a problem. He had a puncture in his car, so I'd taken it to Quick Fit. Do you remember me sharing this story? And it was one of these difficult times, because sometimes we have difficult times, don't we? And I was going through this real difficult time in Christian walk, Christian living, just stuff going on. And was really feeling, God, where are you? God, I need you to speak to me. So I take it into Quick Fit. The guy fixes Chris's tire. And I said to him, how much does that cost? And he said these words to me. Remember the story. He says, no, I want to do that for free because I can tell by the look on your face you're having a bad day. Now, that was great, wasn't it? That someone could see enough that he recognized that someone else, that's what you talk about doing a good deed. So I drives down to Quick Fit. This is 7 years later. This is just last week. And when I drive to Quick Fit, I went in. The manager came out. I says, hey, I need the tire pressure. Check my car. He says, no problem. And he shouted a guy, and he came out from the side. And guess what? Stay with me. It was the same guy that had fixed the tire 7 years earlier that had done the good deed. And I recognized them, and I was sort of like, whoa. Now, you know one of those moments when you know I was having a dark day 7 years ago, and God put somebody in my world to let me know it was going to be okay. Now, the tire pressure, and by the way, he checked the tires, and he says, no, everything's fine. I don't quite know what's going on. Everything seems fine. And I said to him, I says, what's your name? He says, my name's John. I says, John, I need to tell you something. I says, 7 years ago, I was in here. You probably don't recognize me. And he's like, no. And I'm like, you don't recognize this handsome young man. Come on. I'm like, I didn't say that. I said, 7 years ago, John, I came here, and I was going through a real difficult time. I said, and you did something incredible. I said, you fixed the tire, and when I asked you how much it cost, you says, no, I want to do it for free. He says, because I can see you're having a hard day. I says, believe it or not, I says, I'm a pastor. I'm the guy that is usually there for everyone else. 7 years ago, you were there for me. I said, my mom is actually in hospital right now. And as I was praying, I'm just saying, hey, God, thank you for all you're doing. Just good to know that you're there and you're on it. I said, and you come into my world again. I says, I just want you to know that your act of kindness 7 years ago has taken me through so many journeys. And here I get today to say thank you. He said, really? I said, really? He says, just one moment. He went into the office and he came out with this. He says, would you give some feedback to my manager? He said, would you tell him? And I said, of course I would. Because when you have good news, you give feedback and tell people about the church. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And God can put a quick fitter. I practiced that. I was nervous. You see, sometimes we think, do we really make a difference? You never know the difference you make in someone's world. And even when you're going through things, that's why. Why is there a lift in this service this morning? I'll tell you why there's a lift. We're aware that Christ is risen. But collectively, it's Easter Sunday. And we rejoice that in the midst of trial, we can say amen. My mom said to me this week, she says, Neely, she says, you're going to church this Sunday, aren't you? Mom, you're lying in hostel. I've been in visiting with you. Yes, of course. I'd hate to think that you're missing church to come through and see me. I'm like, Mom, I will be preaching Easter Sunday. Don't worry about it. You see, you can't be victorious unless you have something to overcome. The Bible says that we are overcomers. How can we have victory unless there's something that we have to overcome? So we as Christians, we pray, God, would you deliver me? And God says, I'll tell you what I'll do, I'll develop you. We say, God, would you take me out? He says, fear not, I am taking you through. What's the old chorus? If we never had a problem, we never know that God could solve them. We'd never know what faith and trust in his name could do. So I'll tell you why I love Easter. I love Easter because of this. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read these words. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are not reconditioned. You are not fixed up. You are new. If you love Jesus, you're not patched up. It's not a band-aid over the problem. The Bible says, all things have become new. A number of years ago, I had taken my, it was Neil's car. I've just noticed something. It's just clicked with me right now. Anytime my sons have problems with their cars, it's dad that's got to, just clicked. I'd taken Neil's car to the garage to get fixed, and they'd ordered a new part. I happened to arrive when the mechanic was putting the part in. As I looked at the part, I recognized there were some yellow markings on the part, which I knew meant it come from Overton. It was a reconditioned part. I said, that's a reconditioned part, to the mechanic. He says, yes, it is. I went to the manager. I says, I'm paying for a new part. Yes, you're paying for a new part. Why are you putting a reconditioned part in? Oh, he says, I'm sure it'll do the same thing. I says, it doesn't work like that. I'm paying for something new. I'm sure the reconditioned part will do the same thing, but I'm not looking for reconditioned. I'm looking for the new. If you are in Christ Jesus, this Easter Sunday reminds us that you are not reconditioned. All things become new. What's new about you? A new approach to life, a new attitude, a new mindset, and we are being renewed daily because there can't be a resurrection until there is a death. That's why I love water baptism services, don't you? I love water baptism because in water baptism, we identify with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, if we only identify with his death, let's keep people under the water. Now, you're laughing, but even this Resurrection Sunday, many churches you go into, they'll celebrate Friday, the cross, but they're not celebrating Sunday, his resurrection. It'll be quiet, it'll be meek, it'll be mild, there'll be no excitement. It will all be about the sorrow of Christ, and rightly so. Thank God for the cross. The cross is the most important thing. But by the way, the Bible says, if there was no resurrection, we would be of all people most miserable. So we identify with his death in water baptism, but when we come up, it's about newness in life. Why? Because I am a new creation. We've got to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive with Christ. He is alive this morning. I love Easter because it helps me and you come to the understanding that we are all changed. I was listening to one of my favorite preachers. His name is Jensen Franklin. I was listening to him preach this week his Easter sermon from 2017. And he said this, referring to Jesus. He said, he got up, he walked out because he wants to come in. He got up from death, he walked out of the grave because he wants to come into our life. I love that. I love that thought. He did that for me. And the Bible says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then we become alive in Christ Jesus. Because Christ walked out of the grave, you can walk out of continual sin. Because he walked out of the grave, we can walk out of bad mindsets. We can walk out of insecurities and hopelessness and bad attitude and family traits. Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within me, then I can be changed. What's new about you? Being a Christian is about transformation, about things being different, that the old man dies, that we rise in him, newness of life. Now, I'm like a lot of you. I'm honest enough to admit that I'm still under construction. I'm like the Aberdeen peripheral bypass. I don't know when it's going to be finished. And so are you. We're still a work in progress, and let's be honest, some of us are way behind schedule. Some of us are slow learners. But we've got to understand that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us, and it helps us become more Christ-like, so we don't have to be what we were, because we are new in Christ. You can change it. Just get a good positive mental attitude, Neil. Just get an education, Neil. Just get in the right environment, Neil. These things are helpful and positive, but what will turn your life around is the Spirit of God that dwells within you, that transforms us and changes us around. We used to sing a song, "I'm so glad I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I used to be." Once again, I'm still under construction. But if you saw me 15 years ago, you would appreciate how far God has done a work in my life. And if I saw some of you last week, we would appreciate what God has done. Folks, the devil doesn't mind you walking out of this service today feeling good if he can make you feel bad about yourself tomorrow. He doesn't mind you shouting amen this morning if all the rest of the week you're doom and gloom and will we ever make it through. But the devil trembles when Christians lay hold of life-changing, fear-altering truth. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. If you are in Christ, His Spirit is in you. I love that. You see, we try to work it out. We try to plan it out. We try to, if I do this, if I do that, it will make it happen. No, if you are in Christ, His Spirit is in you. We've got to settle the issue. There's something new where the old used to be. My sister Wendy and my sister Louise, over this last couple of weeks and being around them, I've noticed something. They both said to me on separate occasions, "Neil, I can't believe how alike you are, how you look so much like your boys, Neely and Chris. You look so much like Neely and Chris." And I'm like, no. No. Oh, no. I don't look like them. They look like me. I'm the dad. They're the kids. I'm the banker. They're the receiver. "But you just look so much like Neely." No, he looks like me. And if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you, guess what? You should look like Jesus. There should be such a change, such a transformation, something happening that folk are looking at you and go, "Wow, what a difference." I know what they mean. There are some things that my boys do. By the way, if you ever phone my house or my landline and someone says hello, please make sure it's me before you start to talk. Because the amount of times, because Neely sounds so much like me on the phone, that folk have called and have began to explain their problems and their troubles. And Neil being Neil will let you go about 5 minutes into the conversation before he will go, "I think it's maybe my dad, Matthew, you want." So I just want to throw that out there, because not only do we look alike, we even sound alike. And Easter reminds me that I'm a new creation and I'm being changed and transformed into the likeness of Christ. This truth we are reminded in communion when Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." Why? When we break bread in a few moments, we will remember the cross. We will remember the fact that Christ on that cross, He took my sin and He took my sorrow and He took my shame and He took everything, the judgment that was on me, that Christ took that. We will remember His death. We will remember His burial, His resurrection. But we will also remember His second coming. Because He rose from the dead, and newsflash, He's coming back again for you and for me. So why do I love Easter? Because it reminds me of what Christ has done, but it also reminds me of what He's going to do. That gives me the victory. What does communion say to me? Communion says to me, love. Love, love. It speaks about his mercy and it speaks about his grace. And whatever is happening in your world today, because he conquered death, hell, and the grave, whatever you are going through, my God is able. And the enemy would throw judgment on us, and we don't realize the victory that is already ours in Christ Jesus, because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. That's why I would say you don't sit in economy when you've been given a first-class ticket. And too many Christians are living below that which God has already done for us. We're hoping, we're believing, we're looking for. He's already done it. That's why, I'll be honest with you, I get so troubled when people get so hard line at communion. That we make it so difficult, you know. Let a man examine himself, rightly so. But I examine myself, but I also recognize what Christ has done for me. And when I take communion this morning, it's not about Neil Cameron. It's about what God has done for us. It's about his victory. So I love Easter because of the transformation. And here's my last point. Don't worry, it's longer than the rest. I love communion because we're confident in him. Paul says this, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him until that day." You see, if you don't believe in the power of the cross, you'll never believe in the power of the resurrection. If you don't believe in the resurrected Christ, you'll never believe he's coming back again. You won't believe that there's victory over death. I was reading a book the other day, and it was so intriguing to me, and I never do this, but I was so intrigued that I went to the final chapter to see how it ended. Now, I know some of you purists right now. I know. We just spoke about judgment, yet you're judging me. I know, and I never do this, but I was just so, I wanted to know where he was going to go with this whole thing, and I have the ability to do that and work my way back. But I suddenly, as I was doing that, God began to speak to me, and he says, "The problem with so many Christians is this, Neil, that we're stuck in the middle of the book, and we don't remember how our story ends. The story ends this way, that Christ is victorious, and whatever you and I are going through this day, it will be well." I said to my mom yesterday, "Mom, how are you?" She said this, "Neil, it is well with my soul." Sitting in a hostile war, she says, it is why? Because she knows how the story ends. And she's not out of the woods yet, by the way, folks. You know, we need to keep praying for her. But whatever happens, my mom is confident, we are confident, it's going to be okay because Christ has won the victory for us. You see, for some, Easter is about bunnies and Easter eggs and hats and new clothes. But those of us that love God, it's about the transformation. It's about what he's done for us. Apostle Paul said this, "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." The power of his resurrection. Why? Because hats and suits and perfumes and fine aftershaves can't disguise the inner pain that many of us live with. Success, knowledge, attainment, and fame are not enough. What society declares as success is discounted when it comes to knowing Christ. You can Google about him, but that doesn't mean you know him. But Paul said that we may know him. I've discovered this. A good sermon on a Sunday is not going to change you. An Easter homily won't fix it. But if we can tap into resurrection power, it will change our world. When I was standing, and please forgive me, but as a pastor, minister, preacher, I see illustrations in everything, okay? So I'm standing, we're sitting around mom's bed, and all of a sudden we heard this alarm go off. As the alarm went off, everyone in the ward, I'm talking about the nurses. Now, let me give some explanation. In high dependency unit, there is one nurse to two patients, okay? So there's quite a lot of staff going about. When this alarm went off, the nurse that was beside my mom's bed, she suddenly ran through to this room People came running through from the other side of the ward. They were running from everywhere because one of the nurses had put off an alarm that a patient was in distress. They needed help. They came running from everywhere when they heard the alarm. And I'm like, wow, isn't that what the church should be like? That when people are in our need and people in our community are hurting and desperate and need some answers, that literally people that know Christ come running from everywhere. And I'm like, God, I think that's a pretty good example to share with the church. And I felt God say to me, Neil, no, that's what heaven is like. Because when the faintest cry of the weakest saint arises to heaven, all of heaven starts to run and come and respond. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, angels. Why? Because the feeblest cry of the weakest saint gets the attention of heaven. I'll tell you why I love Easter. Because I don't serve a God who is dead. I serve a God who is very much alive. And question, is he alive in your heart this morning? Question, are you being changed? Are you allowing the resurrection power of the risen Savior to change you enough? And are you confident that all of heaven arises in response to the cry of the feeble saints? And as we bow our heads and just get ready to go to communion right now, I have just been so aware of the prayer of saints and the concern of so many people just responding to Mom. You become aware of pain and sorrow and weakness when I see what Mom's gone through and what my wife Phyllis goes through. You get an awareness that it wakens you up to the reality. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never responded to Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never entrusted your life with Christ. You heard me say it earlier on. A good sermon won't fix you. An Easter message won't change you. But the power of the resurrected Savior can turn your life around. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, the Bible says, they are new creations. If you're in Christ, His Spirit resides within you. Your life can be turned around and transformed by the power of the risen Savior, the resurrected Christ. You're here and you come because it's Easter, and well, that's a good reason to be here. You've come because of this Sunday of just gathering with the saints. That's a good thing. But I wonder, is it well with your soul? Have you committed your heart to Jesus? Have you given your life to Him? Have you invited Him up? My question is not, do you attend church? My question, very simply but profound, is this. Is it well with your soul if perchance you were to face an experience of wow, I just don't know which way things are going to go over these next few hours or days? Would you have that peace and that confidence because you know you belong to Jesus? That is the power of the gospel, the resurrected Savior. Before we go to communion, love to give opportunity just for you to respond to Jesus, to say, Christ, would you come into my heart? I want to make you my Lord. I want you to make you my Savior. I want a personal relationship. I want to know that all of heaven is responding and runs to my cry. I'll tell you when that happens, when you have that relationship with Him. You're here. You're in the balcony. You're here down ground level. Would you give your heart to Him? I would love to pray with you. I would love to, after this service, we open up Scripture and help you respond to the love of God. But you're here and you say, yes, I need Christ Jesus. Would you lift your hand? Just helping me identify in this service your need of Christ. Not your need of a church or your need of a pastor, but your need of Christ. Let me ask one more time, just as we look around this room. We need Him. We need Him. We need Him. Father, we thank You that You sent the darling of heaven to come to the earth for the worst of sinners. You were crucified, Jesus, on that cross on the Friday. But we rejoice that on the Sunday You rose again. You did get up. You did come out so that You could come into my heart. And Father, we thank You for divine transformation. There was no way human endeavor could not do it. But we thank You that sin shall no longer have dominion in my life because of a resurrected Savior. So we're very quick and very cautious this morning that all the glory will go to you, Lamb of God, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.